I just saw my friends in the back. It's amazing that they'll come from everywhere to get to Cowboy Church. That man right back there in the white is from Brazil. Hadn't seen him in a while. Got to talk to him. Him and John got to evangelize and do a lot of things for about a month over in Brazil this last month. And to the glory of God, it's an honor to be able to take Jesus to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen? The reason I wanted you to clap over tithes and offerings is to understand that it's vital for Christians to begin to operate by the principles of God that God set forth concerning finances, money. The very thing that our family growing up in churches and pastoring wouldn't talk about much in fear of offending somebody. And as a boy growing up, I never understood that. I never understood why then, as a Christian, giving my life to Jesus in 1979, May the 10th, when I was 10, that I had to grow up and not understand what the Bible says about money. Why did I then in college have to have a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship, a student loan, a Pell Grant, I mean, whatever and had a job of testing oil-filled pipe, make sure it was good before they stuck it in the ground. And one day I got fed up, and I wanted to see what the Bible said about finances. Why was our pastor so afraid to talk about the very thing that most people work for hours and hours and hours and hours to get? What does the Bible say about that? And I'm here to tell you guys, listen to me, I counsel more people in the area of finances than any other thing. Even health issues usually come from worry and fear about finances. I can't afford this, and look at them over there, and and before we know it, we're operating the wrong ways. And so I began to dig into this Bible in the area of finances when I was in college, and I found out that 2,036 times God talks about finances in this Bible. And if he talks about it that many times, why does he not want us to talk about it? Why does he not want us to have it? And so at this church, since all you new people, I do not take a salary at this church, which then affords me to teach about finances, because now you know my heart's in it for the right reason. Amen? And we need to start learning what the Bible says about, I mean, this book's a good book. You ought to read it. It's good. Man, it's got lots of stuff in there that talks about finances, and here's one. You find it in 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, I can go through the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, and we can talk about the principles of God because they're yes and amen. In other words, God's word is irrevocable. It changeth not. It works today if you would just dare to believe it. I counsel more millionaires than I do anything. Why? Well, because they have a lot of pressure. They have a lot of responsibility. And so I want to minister to anybody, but I tell them the exact same thing I've told me and my family, or that the Word of God teaches us here at this church. Listen to this story in verse 1 of chapter 4, 2 Kings. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you knoweth that your servant did fear you." He feared the Lord. Listen to this. "And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves," or the King James says bondsmen. "And Elijah said unto her," this woman, "what shall I do for thee? Tell me what you have in this house." And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in this house save a pot of oil." That's all I got. I don't have much, sir, but I do have this pot of oil. Listen to that very thing right there. All she had was a pot of oil. But I'm telling you, that one thing changed her life, because that pot of oil was a seed. It was a seed that then God used. Verse 3 said, and he said, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Empty the vessels. Borrow not just a few. So he's trying to get her to have a lot of faith and get plenty. And when you come in, shut the door. Get your sons and pour out into all those vessels that oil. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, brought the vessel to her, and she poured it out. Verse 6, listen. And it came to pass. I love that. That means it happened. It came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And they said to her, the vessels are no more. And the oil stayed. Verse 7. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell all the oil and pay thy debt, and live, thou and your thou children, on the rest. Think about this for a second, y'all. All she had was a little oil. But she planted that seed. Man, when she planted that seed, then, I mean, God, he's a pretty big God, right? I mean, he can multiply fish and loaves of bread. In other words, what this is trying to tell all us believers is God cares about everything in your life. But if you're not willing to plant the seed, Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest will never cease. It's going to be here no matter what. Everything is a seed. So when you're talking about finances, and you're hurting and you're in debt, or you barely can get by, it's paycheck to paycheck, the first thing I would encourage any believer is to sow a seed. And then by faith, watch what God will do. Here's a woman that just sowed only thing she had, some oil. And God multiplied it in such a way that when she sold it, she lived on the rest. Amen. See, that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to, number one, get out of debt. Owe no man but to love him. I mean, get out of debt, y'all. And then start living by his principles of sowing and reaping. And I'm telling you, if you want that provision that you deserve as a Christian, start getting into his economy, his kingdom. Stop being selfish. Start giving, man. Start sowing a seed. And that's why you give to church. As you're sowing a seed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So in that bucket and in that bucket, I want you to give. Before you do, all you visitors that, I forgot to tell you, inside that visitor packet was a card to pen. If you can, sometime, if you can do it right now, fill out that card for us. It just shows that, gives us a record that you came. Sweet Doris, got a sweet lady that'll call you one time. And just thank you for coming. If you have prayer requests, tell her. If you have questions about our church, ask her. And that's why we fill those out. But bring them sometime to these boxes. But the rest of you come give with a big old shout of praise. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys so much for giving, being a blessing, believing in the church. For all the new people, we believe in doing everything debt-free. We don't owe a thing on these buildings. We've built them all debt-free, thank God. But we're still believing. We're still believing just for our church, just for your knowledge before I dismiss all my kids' church and all the youth. How many of you are members of this church and you believe in this church? Let me see your hand. And I don't care if you hadn't actually joined, but if you believe in this church, then it's for a reason. I mean, we need to believe in what we're doing, and which is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I realize that I still travel. I have to go, and I don't have to, but I get to go and do San Angelo Pro Rodeo church service. And we've been doing it for years and years. And I get to go out and do a lot of those services. But when you are a part of something like a church, then you get behind it. And you get behind the vision. And I want you to get behind finishing the kids' church. You hear me? Get behind that. And in order to get behind it, then put your support to it. That's why we're doing the cow drop, just a fundraiser to finish the kids' church. We probably need all $150,000 to finish a church, but I'm here to tell you that's a drop in the bucket to God. We built this building, and this ground would have cost about $1.8 million. And we did it all debt-free because people like you got behind the vision. And that's what it takes. So when we're doing a cow drop, which is a fundraiser to just generate some income, I want you to get behind it. I want you to help us get the vision behind it. And we've made some brochures to help you understand what is a cow drop and what's it for. Well, a cow drop, just real fast, is selling off our arena ground. We have professional surveyors. It's a little different than going to a football field like normally they do, where they sell off square yards of the football field. And then they turn out a cow. We're going to turn out three of them at different times. And wherever the cow uses the bathroom, y'all understand El Toro poo-poo, okay? We're cowboys here. Whoever has bought that square is going to be a prize of $10,000. Me and Denise had a meeting this last week, and I think we're real slow in selling right now because we're 3-4 months away from the rodeo when we're going to actually do it. But that's beside the point. I want to sell at least 2,000 tickets. And get this church built. Now, here's the deal. What we decided to do is we're guaranteeing the prize money. I don't care if we sell 300 tickets, you're going to win $10,000 for first place, $5,000 for second, and $2,500 for third place. And we decided to guarantee it because that gives people an incentive to understand that it's going to happen no matter what. But what I need from this church is to get those tickets out and start selling them. And not wait until the month of the rodeo, but let's get 2,000 and then beyond. That arena, I think we can sell about 4,000 tickets. We sold 2,000 the first year we did it, and we made $80,000 for our church in this building. Y'all, that's what we need to do for our kids. And I don't know about you, but that's an investment in our kids that is worth $1 million or more. Amen? And so, come on. So they told me, well, we just need to explain it better so the whole church gets. So I want you to get involved. Amen? Come on. This is your church. Where people get saved, healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God. It's unlike any church that I've ever been a part of where someone gets saved almost every single service. I have people that come from Austin area that say their church doesn't even give a salvation plan. I know churches that don't get but 5 or 6 people saved all year. And yet we've had hundreds saved here just this last year. Hundreds. And so please get involved, and let's get this church finished. Amen? Amen? With that said, a huge round of applause for Kids Church and our youth group are dismissed out the back end. Give it to them, y'all. By the way, when you get, I figure if all of us sold 10 tickets, they're $50 a piece. I've already sold almost 10. I ain't even tried. I mean, when you say, hey, this is for kids, people get behind that. Don't be afraid of $50. What's 50? Have y'all not looked at our economy because of our President Trump? Do y'all see that thing? That crazy man that's our president is actually getting things done over there. And they're, I mean, no one likes him, but by golly, they like his policies. I laughed about that because we had some people saying, oh, that's just chump change, $1,000. Who wants $1,000 in here? I mean, $1,000 is a lot of money. Anyway. So if you don't like your $1,000, give it to me. We'll put it in the kids' church. How many brought a Bible this morning? Let me see all the Bibles. Hold up your Bible. I want to make sure I'm preaching to the right people here. Amen. Good job. I am so proud of the middle section. Freaks everybody out when you do things different. There ain't a middle out. Yeah, that's right. That's because I want people to see that there's actually people that come to this church. On television. All of you that are watching from all over the country, from my friends in Iowa, my friends all the way up in the Dakotas, all you people that contact me from Florida and California and every state in between, it is a joy to have you every week. I want you to spread the word. Tell everybody that WCCowboyChurch.org is the place to watch the live broadcast of this service. And I want you to know it's a pleasure to be able to come into your home, onto your iPhone or wherever you're listening at, and preach the engrafted word of God that will change your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions to start thinking like God thinks. And when you do that, I'm telling you, you'll have victory in your life. You won't just be the victim. You'll be the victor in Jesus' name. You won't just be saved, but you'll be mentored and built up. And then do find a Bible-believing church wherever you live. I'm not against that, but I'm here to tell you it's a pleasure that we can preach Jesus to the uttermost parts of the world in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, and we're growing. I mean, most people, when you have television, they'll have a camera there and a camera there. And so as God provides, we're going to do that. We're going to be dropping mics so that when I tell a joke, people actually hear the laughter. I don't know if y'all could hear that, but someone, Denise said, well, you can't really hear the laughter or the clapping, you know. So we're going to drop some mics and let people know that there is actually some good participation here at this church. Amen. In your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last few weeks, I've been dealing with a subject that I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to, talking about the last days, the end times. Something that our preachers have talked about way back when, but for some reason we haven't talked about it as much today. I think during the message you'll probably figure out why. But I want you to know that I believe, and this church believes, that we're in the last of the last days, where Jesus could come back at any time. Prophet Isaiah has prophesied a lot of stuff in the Bible, and it's all come to pass. And I'm sure there's still some that are coming to pass as we speak. I mean, just watch the news. You'll see that happening. Watch the countries that are starting to unite, like Russia and Iran. Well, that's in the Bible. It's written over 2,000 years ago that it would happen in these last days. For some reason, preachers are a little afraid to talk about the last days. When I was a kid and they was talking about the last days, it was scary. I mean, I think for all of us, since the kids are out of here, it's not as scary because we're a little more mature, but yet a young Christian, I can understand it because as a young person, Jesus come back before I'm married, before I have children, before this goal is met and so on. And then, but it can also happen to, you know, anybody where we can allow fear to come on, and usually because of sin, that freaks out a lot of people because some denominations will literally teach that if you sin and died, you don't go to heaven. And I'm here to tell you that's not the truth. Do you know how you get to heaven? By receiving Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou, who's thou? Say me, us, thou shalt be, say it loud, saved. Saved from what? Well, I always like to say, yeah, saved from hell, because that's a bad place. You don't want to go there. Ooh, it's hotter in Pecos. Summer. Ooh, and I've been there many times. You ever been to Pecos? Oh, man, it's hot there in about July. Now the rodeo has moved back to the end of May, but it's still hot, I'm telling you. I don't know what it is about Pecos, but my family's, we've some ranches around Kermit. And man, that was some hot country. And then me being raised in Odessa, ooh, Jesus, that stuff just hot. I don't know if it's the oil in the ground or what, but man, but hell's not a good place. But when you give your life to Jesus, thank God we're saved. Okay, so what messes a lot of people up is then sin. And if you're not careful, you'll get guilt and condemnation by the devil by messing up. And what we teach here is thank God for Jesus, who is full of grace and mercy and forgiveness and so on. But listen to me, that gives us absolutely no right to sin. Not when you're a Christian, because we're not just an ever now and then Christian. When you give your life to Jesus, you're bought with a price and translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light through the light, Jesus. Amen? And now you have to understand that when we give our lives to Jesus, it is who we are. Now, I realize that a lot of people then don't go any further and start learning who they are in Christ. And when you don't learn who you really are in Christ Jesus, then you'll be the one that might be a little fearful when you start talking about the end times, see, and that we're in. Now, all this is in the Bible. Isn't that funny? Say amen to that. Because if it's in here, we want to know about it. And 2 Timothy begins to talk about it in the very first verse of chapter 3. This know also, we talked about that word know because it literally means in the Greek, get knowledge. You got to get knowledge of this stuff. That in the last days, when you study out the last days, you'll find out that it literally what's the word? It's actually defined as the last of the last days. That there'll be perilous times, and we talked about perilous times. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. We talked about that last time because and this is something that you guys, you need to judge it yourself. I remember preachers would literally tell you when Jesus was coming back. And we know that's not the truth because no one knows, not even Jesus, when he's coming back. You understand? But we're to be ready. And we're to, you know, look up for our redemption draws nigh. I mean, we've got to be ready, in other words. We cannot be those people where It's like a thief in the night, because to a Christian, I mean, we see the signs of the times. So when we see these things, like in the last days, know this, that there'll be perilous times, you need to judge, is there perilous times around you? You need to judge, are people around you lovers of themselves? And we studied a lot about this. And then it comes on to saying things like covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it keeps going. Well, in order to judge this, we need to know exactly why the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, because remember, look at verse 16 of the same chapter. Is everybody there? Say amen if you're there. Look at 16, and let's just all say it together. All Scripture is given, this is the King James, by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So let me see everybody, look at me. Would everybody be in agreement right now that this Bible was all Scripture written and inspired by God Almighty? In other words, it can't be some man's opinion, some preacher's opinion on what it says. Let's read it ourselves and see what it says. In the last days, there'll be perilous times. Ooh, when you study out that, just going back and looking. When I started talking about perilous times, it's only used twice in the New Testament, but it denotes spoken words that are hurtful and harsh and cruel and ruthless, cunning, wounding, and therefore hard to bear. I mean, it uses this word in Matthew called exceedingly fierce, ferocious, unruly, uncontrollable, unpredictable, and dangerous times. Perilous times. That's what that word perilous means. And then last week we talked about men shall be lovers of them their own selves. And I just want to catch you up real fast, because that means that people are self-centered, self-consumed. It's all about self. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, we're not supposed to be about self. We're supposed to be about serving others, right? But for some reason, our society it's all self, self, self. Now, let's look at this next one, though, covetous. In the Greek, it means the love of money or someone that's money hungry. These are people who have money but refuse to share their wealth with others. In the end days, I found out, people will be self-centered with lots of money possibly, but will spend ridiculous sums of money on themselves. You know, and you have to, again, judge this message. And do you see that happening around us? Because if we do, then it's just another sign that we're in the last of the last days, see? Because we need to just see if our society is going in this direction. So here's a question for all of us. And this is a question, because I don't want to be self-centered. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about when you're submitting yourself to God and that's when He'll give you the desires of your heart. I mean, He wants you to have the desires of your heart. He wants you to have goals and dreams and visions and have them come to pass. But are they all at the expense of others for self? I mean, is it all just a selfish thing? I don't care about anybody else but me. I mean, there's country songs I told you last week that are talking about that. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. So to judge it, we have to ask ourselves, if the Holy Spirit told you or speaks to your heart and tells you to give to somebody, can you say no to the things that you were planning to buy for yourself and obey the Holy Spirit? Because a lot of people are like, okay, I have $1,000. This has happened to me more times than you can fathom. I have a certain amount of money, and the Lord, He has directed me to give all of it to someone. Who wants that to be you? Yeah, give it to me, man. I mean, I remember only having, you know, like I said, $2,000 or $3,000. And the Lord said, hey, I need you to go give that to that woman. Well, you have to judge that. Oh, wow. Well, Lord, that's all I have. And I was planning on buying a new team roping horse, sir. That was going in. I was building that up. Well, you know me, I gave it. And I'm here to tell you, finances came from every direction because I was obedient. See, I remember building this church and we had $10,000 and we were growing in the early days. This is probably 10 years ago. And I went to Jamie and I said, Jamie, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to give this $10,000 to another ministry that is needing a building. And she looked at me kind of like some of you women do, like you're crazy. She said, you sure? I said, yeah. Well, she's smart enough to understand me that she said, okay, do it. And I gave it to a ministry. I'm telling you, finances came in like you'd never seen, thousands of dollars to help us build this church, you see. So that's the question for all of us. If the Holy Spirit told you to go out and bless someone. And look, it doesn't take much faith when you have, you know, $1 million for you to go bless someone with $20. I'm talking if the Spirit of God said, and it has to be the Spirit of God, not you know, anything else. We were talking, me and Denise, and we were talking about hearing from God. And how do you know if it's you, if it's God, or if it's the devil? Well, that's real simple for me, because I understand that's what most people say, is this God? Okay, so here's the teaching class. Everything good comes from above God. Everything bad comes from the devil, okay? So you can take out God and the devil that fast. Anything that's bad is not from God. So if God says, hey, I need you to go give $1,000 to help that drunk go buy some more beer, how many of you understand that that's not good, right? Or to help someone buy a few more drugs just to be a blessing. We know that's not God. That's the enemy. But if God says, hey, I need you to go help that widow, she's hurting. She needs desperate finances right now. I'm telling you, that's good, because it's going to be a blessing to her. Amen? Okay. Then how do you know if it's you or God? Well, here, it's very simple, y'all. If you're born again in here and Jesus is your Lord, then you have the mind of Christ. So any time God put something in your mind, if you have the mind of Christ, then it's God. You don't have to try to figure out, is this me? No, it's God, because anything good, the devil's definitely not going to do. So that's how you judge if it's you or if it's God. When you're talking about self, everything is about me, then I'm here to tell you, you won't do what the Spirit of God says, okay? But if the Spirit of God says, I want you to go bless that. Y'all remember the story when the Lord told me to give. I only had $20 and I was coming back from a wedding. I had credit cards and stuff or whatever, debit. This hadn't been that long ago, so debit cards was probably in America. And the Lord, I walked in, I was hungry. I just preached for a little college couple ranchers, and I got them married, and I'm coming home. I had $20, and I take it back. I had $25, and I was hungry, and I wanted 2 bean and cheese burritos without onions and without sauce, and a medium Dr. Pepper. That's when I drank Dr. Peppers. When I walked in, the Spirit of God said, hey, see that girl behind the counter? I want you to bless her with some money. Well, I knew that I only had $25 and I wanted 2 bean and cheese burritos, no sauce and no onions, and a Dr. Pepper. So I'm thinking, just as any of you would, is this the devil? Trying to make me give my money. Okay, I established it was not the devil because that's going to help this girl. But here's the thing. When I walked up to that counter, she was rude. She goes, what do you want? I'm thinking, this was the devil. I said, what'd you say to me? I said, what do you want? I said, well, I want 2 bean and cheese burritos, no sauce and onions. Oh, brother. Here's another special order. Now, I'm thinking, because being a human being and forgetting that I was a pastor right about that minute, I wanted to slap her. Has anybody ever been there? I just swing my arm. Somehow I'm going to slap you. But I kept control because I was reminded again that I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm thinking in my mind, there is no possible way I'm giving this girl $20. God said, yes, you will. You do it. So I pulled out $20. My meal was $4 and something. I think I had to cut the Dr. Pepper. And I said, the Lord wanted me to bless you and give you this. And when I handed it to her, tears started rolling like you've never seen. Come to find out, she was a pastor's daughter. Now, she cussed really, really good as a pastor's daughter. Because she cussed at me. But you know what? It changed her life because of my obedience. Thank God I'm not self-centered. I don't want to be. And I repent if I ever am that way. I don't want to be self-centered. And I sure enough don't want to be covetous, you see. Would y'all agree? Look at the next thing that it says, boasters. This is a Greek word called alazon, A-L-A-Z-O-N. This person, when you really study this out in the Greek, is a braggart. It refers to really worse than that, but it refers to a boaster in the Greek as someone who is a liar. He's willing to exaggerate, overstate the facts, stretch the truth, embellish a story. Today we call it situational ethics, or in other words, adjusting your morals, your beliefs, your convictions to fit any situation. I believe this philosophy is being taught in schools today across this country. In other words, moral absolutes are being replaced by floating ethics. That's why the Bible and its moral truths are being removed from all our courthouses, all our places of governments. And I believe it's to try to turn each nation into a secular society free from the rule of Scripture and the mention of God. Wow. Man. Let me go through this real fast. That word proud, the next part, proud, is a Greek word that depicts a person who sees himself above the rest of the crowd. It represents an arrogant, a haughty, impudent, snooty, high and mighty, an insolent attitude that thinks it is intellectually advanced and therefore has the right to set an agenda for everyone else. People who force their liberal agendas on the rest of us. Taking out God in everything. And here's the saddest part. And I'll just start ending on this right here. It's created three churches today. Three. And I'm pretty sure you're going to know what this church is. I'm seeing three churches in the last of the last days that is popping up all over the country. Three types of churches, and this hopefully will cause you to judge if we're in the last of the last days. Maybe you've been to some of these churches. You've been to one because you've been to this one. But what I've found is that there's three churches that are popping up in these last days. The very first one is a church that holds fast to the truth of the Word of God and faces the brunt opposition because it refuses to bend. I'm here to tell you that's this church. Absolute truth is going to be preached no matter what. But check out the other two churches that I see are popping up in these last days. And by the way, this happened 2,000 years ago. The very same thing happened when they began to see the great revival, but then preachers started getting, you know, tired of getting persecuted, and they started digressing back to the days of Babylon. The very same truths they started watering down. Check out the next couple of churches that I'm seeing raise up in the last of the last days. The second church is a church that's in the middle, trying to ride the fence through accommodation in order to avoid persecution and social rejection. And I'm seeing that. I mean, it's tempting for me not to say anything about marriage between a man and a woman. Yeah, but what if there's someone in your congregation that has a family member that is homosexual? Well, listen, at this church, what we need to teach is that we're not against people because we're not against, you know, flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness. But I'm here to tell you that the absolute truth of the Word of God is God created a man and a woman, and He said, be fruitful and multiply. Look, you cannot be multiplying with a man and a man or a woman and a woman, regardless of what you think about love. You still have to preach the truth of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, it's tempting to just not say anything about anything controversial. I mean, there's people come to church all the time that live together and they're not married. Are we going to be truthful? How about we just allow God to convict and not condemn? And say, well, it's better to get married. Because if you're not getting married, why? Is it because of fear? Because fear is the opposite of faith. And faith, if you believe that person's the right one, get married. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Come on, what's wrong with truth? Is anybody out there? Are y'all with me or not? Because I want to make sure that this church is the number one. Absolute truth. Now again, we don't beat up anybody. Matter of fact, we've had a lot of people that come that are homosexual, but I'm here to tell you, if you stay in this church and the Spirit of God does not move in your life to cause you to get delivered, set free, I mean, you know what? You don't see any casting out of devils anymore, do you? You saw that in the early church all the time. Casting out of devils, some wrong thinking. Why? Because it's crept into the church. And before we know it, oh, well, you know, we're not going to have anybody in our church if we don't kind of back off and sugarcoat. Well, we can't do that in the Word of God because that's a sign of the last of the last days. And when I stand before God as a pastor, I'm here to tell you, I want God to say, you didn't try to please men. You were just pleasing me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see. Well, look, he's got to say that about you, because every one of us are going to be standing before God. The Bible calls it the great judgment day. It's not a scary day. I'm not talking about you messed up and sinned or whatever. No. If you're born again, then you're forgiven before you even did that sin. That's why Jesus died, y'all. Here's the third church, though. Check this out. A lukewarm, Laodicean-like church that has allowed compromise, to run its full course, stripping it completely of the power of God and leaving Jesus standing on the outside. We call those seeker-friendly churches. They don't preach anything controversial. I don't know about y'all, but I figure if the Bible says it, I'm going to believe it. If the Bible says that sin is sin and you can have forgiveness of that sin, then praise God for that. That's what I live, that the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sin. Praise God. But we're not going to compromise behind this podium that, oh, well, no big deal, brother. Even though you're, in that sin and it's really destroying your life, count it all joy. And I'll tell you what I learned is, in some of these churches, they're only preaching motivational speeches. Don't talk about some that you watch on TV. Don't judge them, I'm telling you. Because you don't know, Joel Osteen preaches the word of God. Everybody thinks he's just a motivational preacher. He is on TV, but I'm telling you, when you know him, and I knew his daddy. His daddy was a man of God, and so is he. Did you know John Osteen? I'll tell you what, that man has more people born again than any other church in this country. Thousands and thousands give their lives to Jesus. No one sees it. All they see is a 24-minute broadcast of some motivation. I'm not against that. I kind of like motivation too. But not at the expense of leaving out the word of truth, the absolute truths of the word of God. What if we decided that, God doesn't heal everybody? You understand that, right? Well, that's a lie by someone saying it in the first place, because God heals everybody. But if we start living by some of these churches, that we start justifying why someone didn't get healed, then we're going back into these last two churches. We're going to have to sugarcoat it. Brother, God must have needed a new angel in heaven. Boy, that makes me mad. I got to be honest with you. Number one, you are not an angel. You understand that, right? I see it all the time. God just needed another, and I know, I'm sure some of you may have said this before, but have some knowledge today that you are not an angel. There's not a human being that's an angel. God created angels, and thank God for them. We need them. But you're not an angel. You know why? Because you were created, according to Genesis, in the image of God Almighty, in His likeness. An angel cannot sit before God, but I'm here to tell you, you and I can. An angel has to stand at attention to God Almighty. But you and I, because of Jesus, we get to sit with God. We get to go fellowship with Him, man. We get to go, all right, Father, oh, thank you for blessing me today. I just want to be a blessing to you, sir. Not saying you're God, okay? I mean, we get to fellowship with Him. We get to go. We can tell Him all our cares. We can tell Him our hurts. We can commune with Him. God, I need you, sir. I need you in these days. Because, there's perilous times all around us. Listen to me. But for a believer in Jesus Christ, what time is it? Does that thing work? No. It's just for show. My wife did the same thing the other day. I said, what you got that thing on for? Because it looks good. Oh, I've got 11 minutes. You got busted. You got busted.
I didn't know it.
You're going to die in a minute, buddy. When you commune with God, though, oh, Jesus, man, that's some good fellowship. Because you know what happens? Peace. Peace of God. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but I enjoy peace. I need peace. Oh, I need joy. I'm not talking about just happiness. You know when Dallas Cowboys win? My God, they won finally. No, I'm talking about joy that never ends. It's everlasting. It just keeps going and going and going and going. The joy of the Lord that Nehemiah talked about. Can y'all hear this? I mean, I want that joy. You see? Well, in order to have all that, then we have to preach it. We have to preach it as an absolute truth of the Word of God and not sugarcoat. Wouldn't it be terrible if I said, well, you know, I know the doctor said that you're going to die in 6 months. As a pastor, I'm telling you, God would not stand if I then said, yeah, sorry, you're going to die. You're going to die. In Jesus' name, you're dead. You're gone. What, did you get mad because of the watch? I was only kidding. It was just a joke. My wife would be gone then. That's funny, though. I felt like it was funny. What if the doctor said, "You, son, you only got 6 months to live," and then I come and add my agreement to that. Yeah, you're dying. Let's get you ready. Well, I would have to not believe in the absolute truth of the Word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. I would just have to say, I guess it was God's will. Where do you find that at? I mean, I've heard it all my life growing up in church, though. If it be thy will, sir, heal thy body up in heaveneth, this dayeth, Lord Godeth, on higheth. You know, because that's what most people do that's wanting to talk to God. They use these thous and thuses, thinking that that's how God hears you. Uh-uh. No, brother, if you want to speak to God, you just speak to him how you talk. Just leave out the cuss words. Just say, God, here's what the word says. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Okay? Then you got to believe it, though. I've got to believe it. Because if I don't believe it, then it's not going to come to pass. Because the Bible says all things are possible to him that what?
Believes.
Me and my sisters and me and my brothers, we've got to believe that by his stripes we're healed. Okay, if you believe that, if you believe the truth more than the fact you're diagnosed with cancer, you're going to die in six months. Doctor said so, he's an educated man. But here's the truth. And the truth says, no, you are healed by his stripes. Not you gonna be healed. You're already healed. All you got to do is receive it.
Amen.
If you believe that truth, that absolute truth more than the fact, that truth will override the fact, and I'll show you people get healed every day. Because it happens in this ministry constantly. It happens in this truth. Why? Well, because we believe. We're not playing church. I'm not saying we're all perfect. We don't fall short of the glory of God or whatever. I'm saying we don't live that way, though. Why don't we just believe this Bible? Why don't we believe it? Is this yours? I thought that was a lot thicker than mine. It's big words or something in that thing. I'm just telling you as I close. that if the Bible says it, let's believe it.
Amen.
We're in the last days. Do you change anything? Nope. You just keep living for Him. Your desires and your dreams, you keep going after them. God wants you to be a world champion. He wants you to attain any goal or vision or dream that He's placed in your heart. He just doesn't want that to be a self-centered thing where it comes about the vision instead of about the one that gave you the vision. We're going to be a church that preaches the truth of the Word of God. Please don't get upset. No, man. That's part of the end times is people get offended. So easy nowadays. I was praying to God no one would get offended over the chairs being changed. Hey, listen to me. You never know in a church. Well, I don't know where to sit now. I was thinking, I told the guys when there's an opportunity for people to get riled up. Really. You know me. I'm going to bow up to that. I said, really? Then that means their heart's not in for the right reason. Why would you come here for a chair seating? Instead of just knowing that, hey, we're here to hear from Him. Amen. All right. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Father, we love You, love You, love You, love You, love You. Father, thank You, Lord, that You told me and Jamie years ago when we started this church that if we just preach the Word of God, and I know I might make mistakes, sir, forgive me if I do. I might not say it exactly how You intend it, but I need Your help. I want to be led by Your Spirit. And if I make a mistake, I thank You, Lord, for grace, that You'll teach me how to teach it better. But Father, this morning, I thank You, and we declare it as a church that we're going to be this first church that preaches the truth of the Word of God without fears of prosecution and persecution. And Father, I thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Look at me real fast. Spirit of God just told me to read you something. Before I say amen, before we leave, I want you to look at this. Revelation chapter 2. I want you to write that down, and I want you to read it sometime. It was talking about what I'm talking about. Thank You, Lord, for bringing that to my remembrance. I didn't have it written down, and the Lord brought it back to my mind. In verse 11, it says, "He that has ear, let him hear." This is Jesus speaking. What the Spirit says unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, what this is talking about is the churches that are, you know, not telling the truth. They're scared. They don't want to be persecuted. And Jesus says in verse 16, I want you to go read this and then read verse 16 this afternoon if you can. Jesus says, repent. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You know what that means? Listen to me. Look at me. You know what that means? That you better be in agreement with God's word. From Genesis to Revelations. Don't come against it. Don't come against it. That's why it's important for the church to believe and support Israel. You know why? Not because we just want to, because the Word of God says to. Amen. Support Israel. Bless Israel and you'll be blessed, the Word of God says. And we're going to bless that land. Think about it. My God, God's protected that country. Whew. I don't want to be the one where God then says, uh-uh. I mean, I'm telling you, there is what we call ministers all in churches today that are not preaching absolute truth. They've watered this Christianity down in such a degree that scripture comes to pass that says they have denied the power. It's a form of godliness, but they deny the power. I'm telling you guys, no matter what, believe. If God tells you that you're healed, which He's already done because of Jesus, then you believe it. Believe it, believe it, believe it. It doesn't matter what happens. You believe this word of God and you stand faithful on it. Yeah, but God's a God of love. Yes, sir, he is. But he's a God of absolute truth. He loves you. He loves you. He wants everybody to go to heaven. I think that's why he's got this church where it's at. It's because I want you to go to heaven. Here, the question is, are you going to? Is Jesus your Lord? You see, I'm talking about if you stood before God Almighty, and this is what you're going to do one day without your family and friends. You're going to stand before God. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. What's going to happen? Well, for me, he's going to say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant, come on into heaven. You know why there's not signs and wonders at a lot of churches? It's because they don't believe. That's a part of the first church. We're going to be a believing church that sees signs and wonders. Amen. But now listen, when you stand before God and Jesus is your Lord, forget all the devil saying you're not perfect and you did this and you did that. Everybody's got those stories. It does not matter. Is Jesus Lord? Have you confessed him as Lord? Yes, sir. I have. But if you haven't, then make him your Lord. How you do that, preacher? We know, right, Mary? We know that we're to confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. So that's what we're going to do at this church, okay? So every head bowed and every eye closed. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, I'm talking about if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. I want you to give your life to Jesus, who is the only way to escape hell. Receiving Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this prayer with me. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer and mean everything that you pray. Would you do that? Out of your mouth, simply say this. Give your life to Jesus. You ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the doors of my heart, and I accept Jesus as Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my Lord. Be my friend. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And I believe it. Therefore, I'm saved. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray this prayer to you, sir. In Jesus' name. No one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life, to come into your heart and save you. If you just prayed that prayer, all I want you to do, and I'm not going to ask you to get up. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I want you wherever you're sitting or you're standing or you're watching. If you just prayed that prayer, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up. It doesn't matter if you're in a hotel room, if you're at your home, you're listening on your phone. If you just gave your life to Jesus, or you're in this auditorium, if you gave your life to Jesus, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer and Jesus is now my Lord, and then put your hand right back down. Would you do that with every bit of boldness in Jesus' name? Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Glory be to God. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Honored. Anybody else? If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer, get your hand up and then just put it right back down if you hadn't already. If you're watching and you've never given your life to Jesus and you just did, I want you to write us. There's a way to go and write us on wccowboychurch.org. And let us know I gave my life to Jesus. A ton of you text me that you're watching. I get them throughout the day after this service. Skip, I know Skip's watching and so many others. If you just gave your life to Jesus, tell us about it. Let us know, man. It encourages us that what we're doing is man making an impact in this world. God bless you. Why don't you look at me just for a minute? I think there was some that gave their life to Jesus this morning. What an honor. Amen. That we have brothers and sisters in Christ. don't know about you, but man, I love the Lord. Thanks, Howdy. That, by the way, this is when you can y'all move that cow drop table all the way over here, right? Do y'all have time to move it, or is it too much trouble? Do whatever you want. I want it close, though. This is what people will get when they get. It just tells you the rules. It tells you what a cow drop actually is. It tells you that this is a fundraiser to help our children's church, and that it's going to take us all to do it. Amen. And then all those books over there in the library that say free, they're free. Would y'all go get them? They're free. Give them away to somebody. We want to get them in the hands of people. Amen. We're really having our second meeting on Tuesday of our rodeo that's coming up in July, the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have a big carnival. We had almost 10,000 people here over 2 days. The best in the world come. Tough Cooper, world champion calf roper, called me a couple of days ago just to make sure that this was on his calendar, as well as all the other pros that get to rope with us. So, Rick Hager, where are you? Would you stand up and just make your way to the back? Rick is in charge.